seconds after the hour of 11. In this, the month of January, in the year of our Lord, 2007, thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and soon to be defunct studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I am he. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, high atop the bottom of the coin tower. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage in our program in a telephonic sense today, in a super telepsychotronic sort of way, as Commander USA used to say. I think I was about to say I'm the only person who remembers who Commander USA even is, but you know, with that audience, that's not true. Here's the thing is, I would say that. I would open my mouth and I would say, am I the only one that remembers Captain Commander USA? And a super telepsychotronic screen. And then I would get, and then it would just be like that Munsters thing where all day guys would be calling up to talk about Commander USA and his groovy movies. So I'm going to just obviate that whole thing. I'm going to skip it. I'm going to eschew it. We're going to jump over it and move on. Right now, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Somebody's been moving my mic flag around. I don't know who's been
doing. And someone removed my windscreen.
Who's been sleeping in my bed? Is your mic...
I sound different, don't I?
Your windscreen's right there.
It was hanging off the edge, and I put it back on.
You know, here's the thing. Who is it that uses your microphone on the weekend? I'm trying to think about this now.
I don't want to know.
Oh, wait, I know. Now, do you want to know?
No.
Would you like to trade your ignorance for what's behind door number two?
I'd rather be ignorant. I sound a lot different today.
Wouldn't we all? You know, the processing... There are no engineers here today.
Why is it that every Monday I sound different?
The processing sounds different. We're going to have to answer phone calls here in a second. Should the phones not work? Should the phones have some sort of something wrong with them? Should the phones choose to disobey us? Should they not function flawlessly in a technical sense today? I think we may be up a creek without a paddle.
We can just jiggle the buttons around.
Well, that's all they do anyway. No offense.
Who wants to be the button jiggler?
No. No offense, Jeff McGinley or Jeremy or anybody else, but that's really what happens. Jeremy just comes over and...
Come on!
And that's it, man. You just beat it like a disobedient child until it does what it wants you want it to do. Not that you should. Not that that's...
So somebody was volunteered to be the button jiggler today.
It is effective. What?
Yes.
Yes, that is true. Hello. It is Monday. It is MLK Day, and we are live because Rick Emerson cares. Holy sweet Jesus God, he cares. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Scotty is opining, Tim, that you sound good today. You sound crisp and clear. Let me, just give me a little mic check.
All right. I don't know what to say.
Just read something randomly.
Police found a stolen medal of a Nobel Peace Prize during the search of a car belonging to a wanted man.
Mm.
The international positions for... Yes?
No, I was going to say, I agree. Your microphone sounds crisp today. You got a lot of presence to your voice today. I don't think it sounds bad at all.
Presence.
I think home. I think it sounds different than it did on Friday, but I don't think it sounds bad. I think your microphone sounds fine today.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like Friday, but I'll live with what we have.
Whatever. Let me just tell you this. Can I just share this with you?
Thank God there is mic processing.
That over the weekend, I was over at as we are speaking now, the currently. What is the phrase I'm looking for? If it's a thing that's being designed, the currently in progress, the currently under construction. Whatever, the studios that are being...
Pardon our dust.
The studios that are being built for us right now...
especially
over
for us.
The Rick Emerson Studios East, which are being built for us right now. And can I tell you, brand new microphones. They just came out of the box. And I don't mean brand new like brand new from another studio. Literally, they came in the mail. They were sealed. They were stuck under lock and key. They were just opened. And I know that this is a thing that not everybody can identify with. But whatever field you work in, whatever your... whatever your business is, whatever you do to put food on your family, I got to tell you, there are certain tools you use. There are things you use at your office. Now, if you are a delivery driver, perhaps it's a new car. Perhaps it's a new steering wheel. Perhaps it's a brand new plush custom leather seat that form fits your buttocks while you engage in the act of delivering goods and services and sundries all day long. If you work in IT, perhaps it's a brand new computer. Perhaps it's a brand new crisp, sparkling, burstable T3 connection. I got to tell you, for us, for me, for all of us in this room, it is a brand new microphone. It's a thing of beauty, of glory, of wonder. And soon we'll be using it because I think today it is... What is today? I think today it is like 16 days? Something like that. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's less than that.
No, it's got to be less than
today
that because...
the 15th.
It's the 15th and we're there on the 29th. So how many days is that?
14.
Is it 14?
Yes. 2 weeks from today.
Or do you drop one?
Today.
But do you drop one, though? So it's 13.
Oh, Rick.
It's 13, though, isn't it?
If you don't want to count Sundays.
No, if you... 15 plus 14 is 29.
In how many days will
14.
We be... Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. So we are now 15... No, 14 days... 15? 14. 14.
Oh, my God.
Stop! 14. I'm just trying to get a handle on the situation.
14.
14 days. We have now 14 days. Scotty's just typing random numbers on the screen to try to confuse me. We are now 14 days away from taking our place at the helm of the brand new studios, brand new Rick Emerson Studios East, which the matchless Jeff McGinley is constructing as we speak right now. Right now, he's on his back wiring together thousands of little metallic things whose form and function and purpose are a mystery to me, but through which my voice will transmit to hungry ears everywhere. I'm especially poetic today. I'm feeling a little flowery and pretty, oh so pretty. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Before we do anything further, let's try to pick up a phone call, which almost certainly won't work.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on
Naboo. It's our good friend Aaron Geek in the city, Duran.
Are we there?
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Hey, hooray.
Yes, signal.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Are you in a better mood this week?
Yeah, I really am.
Right. I got an email from Aaron last night. He's like, and by the way, I apologize because after all of my snippiness, I ended up not even playing the Week in Geek last week. Is last week's Week in Geek dated?
I don't know. You know what? I hate saying this.
I'm sorry?
Oh, it's got Eddie Izzard clips in it, so it'd be fun to play anyway.
But I mean, is it promoting things that are no longer happening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
So maybe I'll play them both. Maybe I'll go a little crazy, a little wacky, and play two Week in Geeks.
Well, thank you, Commander USA Cat.
It's what... See now
ready?
Our...
Ready? Here it comes. The wind and your tail to yourself.
See, here's the thing. Now our phones are working, but your phone isn't. So so you're dropping out. So we're getting like half of every sentence.
But
yeah, okay. I'm gonna put you on hold. Scotty, can you talk to Aaron and figure out what the hell is up with his phone? That's not us, by the way. That's not happening on our end. Our end is flawless. That is happening on the end of Aaron. Geek in the City, Duran. No, your microphone sounds great, though, Tim.
Why, thank you.
And mine sounds... Sarah, how's your microphone sound today?
I think it sounds good.
You've got a warm yet crisp timbre to your voice.
It's true.
Excellent. Let's try Aaron again. All right, are you there?
All right. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll try one more time. Utter a complete sentence for me.
Hello there. How are you doing today? Sarah doesn't sound very smoggy.
Okay. We'll call it... No, we'll talk about Sarah and in Los Angeles here in just a second. So... all right, so today I will get last week's Week in Geek and this week's Week in Geek, just because Rick Emerson cares because I feel bad. And anyway, so Aaron sent me this. Aaron sent me the Week in Geek last night, along with this note saying, "And I apologize for being an ass all last week. Please to accept my apology." So apparently you were. Apparently it wasn't just me. Apparently you were kind of you were a grumpykins towards everybody in general.
I will see you next Tuesday to everyone last week.
Yes, you really were.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's what we got today. Intercom Radio kills someone. Not figuratively. Not killing their career. Not killing their hopes, their dreams, nor ambitions. Not killing a legendary radio station. Not killing a good set of calls. Not killing a marketing campaign. Not killing their revenue stream. No, they killed a person.
It was bound to happen. We all hope and dream that it was a union rep.
That's you who said that, not me. Of course, take no joy in this. I don't take any joy in this, and of course, it's a tragic loss of What appears to not be
for you.
What appears to not be terribly bright human life, but human life nonetheless. So we will have that story probably every hour today.
It is the union rep.
I do believe that every single hour today, we will have the story of Entercom Radio having just killed someone. What else? Today we got top five. I meant to get to this last week, but it was... Let me just tell you this. I believe it's getting colder. Tim will have... Tim is waving the weather section of USA Today madly at me.
Yes? I just can't wait to talk about this.
Fantastic. So it is, in fact, getting colder, I believe. Is it getting colder, or is Rick just projecting his own...
Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas are in the 20s. Why, that's unheard of, ever.
If only we lived in one of those states. I'm talking about here, though.
Even here, it's in the 30s. And because we're celebrating MLK Day, no heat on MAX trains today. Thank you very much. My fingers are purple.
What does that have to do with celebrating MLK Day?
Well, I don't know.
Is that sort of a... There's some sort of... Nah, it would be...
I was leaving it open to you.
Probably shouldn't speculate as to what the connection might be.
There are many jokes there, none of them that should be said over
Yeah,
here.
I can't really think of anything. And all I can come up with are, like, Cool Runnings jokes. And that doesn't seem right. So we'll get today's top five. Top five Scotty J's top five today. Top five cold songs. We will have a Cannibal Watch today. Peter Carlin joins us from some sort of industry soiree, where he's being pelted with rose petals and the bodies of nubile young women. We will talk to Sarah Dillon about her sojourn in Los Angeles.
I can't wait to hear that.
And and Clyde Lewis is going to be joining us in the studio today.
Even better.
Clyde Lewis in the studio today, and we will read The Inquirer so you don't have to. We'll do that. I've been skipping that the last few weeks. There haven't been a whole lot good in The Inquirer. It's been sort of a wash. But The Inquirer this week is fantastic. Where did I put it? There's one especially great headline. Hold on. Right here. It's a terrible, it really is a photo of, it's like a zombie Britney. And I mean, of all the photos we've seen of her recently, this is the worst. And then apparently Cher is packing on 26 pounds and turning to plastic surgery once again. And it has this picture of Cher that looks, where she looks kind of like one of those Recessy Annie dolls. But with a cowboy hat on. So we'll, and apparently Lindsay Lohan has permanent liver damage. Allegedly. I mean, that's the rumor. I can't say for sure whether it's true or not. I'll leave that to The Inquirer. All right. We got all of that. And Sarah had lunch next to not one, but two celebrities. One in Los Angeles. Who were they? Well, it'll all be revealed on the Rick Emerson Show. That's what we got today, my friends.
Woo-hoo!
Okay. There you go.
What?
Yes?
Okay. Woo-hoo!
Are you at work today?
No, I'm sitting on my butt at home.
Fantastic.
I can say ass. That's fine.
It's a holiday for office and cubicle employees.
It's true. It is...
Actually, you would like this. We weren't supposed to have today off.
Uh-huh.
But enough people requested personal time that we crippled the company and they gave up and gave us the day off.
Excellent. Well, you brought it down from within.
It was fantastic.
Today is just sort of one of those quasi-holidays, though, where, I mean, and I'm sure Martin Luther King would have wanted it this way, where, you know, all of, like, the really upscale white businesses have the day off, but all the poor people still have to work. So
yeah.
I'm sure that was part of his dream.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thanks. Now, banks, the government, every institution that has systematically oppressed blacks for the last 200 years, they all have the day off. So, you know, sure he's smiling wherever he is. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. Sarah Dillon, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Would you like to share with the audience your little guest that's in the studio with us today?
Oh, yes, I have my Muppet in the studio. You're right. I am
exhausted.
When
Sarah says she has her Muppet in the studio, that is a reference to her dog named Muppet.
Ellie sucks the life out of everyone.
Dude, I am so tired.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good.
It's all the lying and big promises from everyone you come in contact with.
I didn't even attend.
Just a couple hours of that's enough to make you want to take a nap.
Deception is bad for the soul. Yeah.
No, I didn't even. I was going to attempt to put on some makeup and look nice, but
no.
What
really? Who's here that you got to impress?
Nobody.
Really?
Nobody.
No, there's just nobody here. Nobody that matters. So now you left for L.A. What time did you get up Friday morning?
I got up pretty early. I got up at like 7 o'clock.
And then what time did you leave for L.A.? Right after the show, right?
Left right after the show. The flight took off at 6:30. We got there at 8:30.
All right. So you're in the same time zone. When did you go to bed Friday night, Saturday morning?
Friday night, we went to bed at like 2:30.
Uh-huh. When did you get up?
Like 9 or 10.
That's not too bad.
That's early.
But then the next night, we stayed up till like like 4 and then I had to wake up at 8. Like, got like 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I know. I got your voicemail.
Yeah.
And this was the... And here's the thing. And this was the peculiar relationship. It's sort of like a... I was going to say it's like a Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice thing, but that would not, strictly speaking, be the right way to phrase this. I was going to say it is part of the unique relationship that Sarah and I have in that, because the phone rang, and I keep my cell phone right by my bed. It's by my bedside. It's on my bedside table. And so I got the phone rang at like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and I look over, and Sarah Dillon, I'm like, drunken call from Sarah in Los Angeles. It'll probably be better as a voicemail. Ignore. And then you called right back. And I'm all, this is almost certainly going to work better as something I listen to tomorrow morning. Ignore.
Oh.
And then without even asking, without even checking, Lara just like, what does Sarah want? And I'm like, oh, I think she's drunk in L.A. I'll just listen to it tomorrow. Okay. And we just go back to sleep. And that's just sort of understood. It's understood that just sometimes you'll call my house at 4 in the morning and nobody's
here. I'm sorry. I wanted to share my exciting experience with you.
And I appreciate that. But I also want to, but you also know that that is not that, I would not have been able to engage in any sort of interesting, I wouldn't have been able to appreciate it because I was like half asleep. So I was able to appreciate it the next day just hearing
you should learn that.
I'm at a party right now and I'm standing next to Ashley Olsen. You know, or whatever the hell it was. So those were always better appreciated the next day.
Did you appreciate it the next day?
I did.
Okay, good.
I did indeed. So you got up, so you flew out last night, right?
Yeah, we got in last night at like, I don't even know, I'm just like 6 or something.
And it goes without saying that you were drunk the whole weekend. Don't lie.
Well, I didn't know, and I didn't drink anything on the flight back, and I was so scared flying. Like, I realized that's just not something I can do.
Yeah. Like, no, you can't fly sober.
I didn't. I was so upset on the plane, and
Didn't you get halfway? How long is the flight from here to L.A.? It's like an hour and a half, right?
It was an hour and a half down, and on the way back, it was a little over 2 hours.
Yeah, but I mean, halfway through, didn't you decide just to screw this? I'm going to get a Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah. No, I had a couple of bottles.
Okay,
bottles of wine.
Okay.
I just didn't before, because the taking off.
You didn't pre-drink then.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the takeoff and the landing. Because, you know, the takeoff is that's where everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody dies in the takeoff. Sometimes on the landing, like if one of those wheels jams and you come down at an angle and the next thing you know, you're engulfed in flame and there's no time to call your family and then they take you out in a little paper bag. That's no good. So as long as you are drunk for at least one of those,
mm-hmm.
you can't be sober through both of those if you're afraid of flying. It's not going to work out.
Oh, yeah. It was the worst flight ever. It was completely turbulent and scary and there were weird clicking noises and I actually had to pull the stewardess aside and ask her what a noise was on the plane because I was freaking out.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I always watch the stewardesses, though, because if they're not scared, I'm not scared. That's the thing. And I don't buy the business about how they're trained to be calm in any emergency or whatever. If we're going to die, you'll be able to see it on the faces of the stewardesses.
Mm.
So I watch them. The thing that unnerves me, though, is just... And I know that we shouldn't talk about this too much because within the sound of our voices, there's probably somebody who's getting ready to fly today. And I don't wish to unnecessarily unnerve them. But I will say, I mean... The turbulence is what terrifies me because, look, I understand that there are engineers and sort of, you know, they're engineering top, like these engineers that work across the hall, they would understand it, that there are guys with slide rules who sat in a laboratory somewhere and they designed metal wings that could stay on the side of a plane without snapping off. The thing is, I'm not smart enough to understand how that works. I'm not smart enough to understand how it's possible. I'm not smart enough to understand how when you rattle a plane up and down and the wings start going bum, 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 bum and start bowing, I don't understand why those wings just don't break clean off. You know what I mean? Because it seems like they ought to. And I don't want to be yet another guy talking about, I was on this flight one time and I had that wind shear and we dropped 5,000 feet in 2 seconds. What? Because everybody's got that story. It's like everybody's got a bad poker beat story and I don't want to be going on about it. But we've all been on that flight where the plane just goes and just plunges and you look out and the wings are sort of going and they're sort of like bowing back and forth, bouncing up and down. And there's no earthly reason why they shouldn't have just snapped off already and why you shouldn't be plummeting to ground like a bullet. I mean, it makes no sense at all. And so what I have to do is I just have to turn off that part of my brain when I'm on a flight. I'm done talking about it. Working on the following stories for your edification is Tim Riley.
Tiring of Rosie, Donald Trump rips into Condoleezza Rice. And she has a thick skin. The world's first test tube baby gives birth to an old-school low-tech baby.
Test tube baby. Don't tell me. Her name is,
Testy.
What?
Testy. Well, that's what her friends call her.
Testy. Okay, I can't top that.
A man dies following a fight during a football-watching beer-guzzling party in Canby over the weekend. And kids just keep on dying, mimicking the Saddam hanging.
excellent. I mean, not excellent, but, you know.
No.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Dumb kids don't grow up to have kids of their own.
Well, no, they grow up going to these football parties, guzzling beer, and getting beat up on somebody's front lawn and dying. If you make it that far.
They grow up and move next to the Welch's factory in Woodburn. All right, there you go.
And this weird weather.
It's wacky weather. Mm-hmm. Put on your booties, kids. It's cold out there. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I had crap we were going to talk about here, but I swear to God for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. We were going to talk about Sarah's The Thing and the L.A. and the whatever and the...
That would be a good topic.
No, it's No, it's gone. No, it's gone. I have nothing. All right. I will also say this, though, that coming up later on in the day, we will try to get to this this news that hurts thing. We also have Ed McCarthy, who's in Oklahoma. And I don't really care about anything that he's covering. I don't really care what's going on. I don't care about the fate of people in Tulsa. Interests me not at all.
Couldn't... Right. It's their own tough luck for moving there.
Seriously. I mean, if you...
That land belonged to the Indians.
That's what you get for taking land from Iron Eyes Cody. So we'll talk. We got the...
And Little Italy.
We have Jim Roop coming up, who will talk about... Is it the Golden Globe Awards?
Yeah.
Whatever. The Golden Globe Awards. And then Lisa Goddard.
Do people actually get a Golden Globe?
I don't know. I don't even know. Is the Golden Globe the foreign one? Is that the one that the foreign press corps does?
I believe so, yes.
All right. Something like that.
This week's award show. But it has nothing to do with Dick Clark.
No, and so
what good is it?
And as such, we don't care about it. Not one tiny little whit. Not a bit, not a piece, not at all. I had some other stuff I was going to get to, but there's probably not enough time here, and we're going to run drastically behind. So what we should do is we should take a break so we do not get behind schedule. We will come back with Lisa Goddard from The Hill at noon. We have the AM 970 noon news hour. Later on, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Peter Carlin, Clyde Lewis, your phone calls. It is MLK Day. We are here. We are live. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Yeah, it's time for those to come out.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, the nascent Rick Emerson studio is the word you were looking for. Maybe. I mean, that's technically accurate. It's not really the word I was looking for. By the way, it's not a... Today is a holiday for CBS radio employees, but apparently not for Fisher employees, says Kristen in accounting. She says, we used to have MLK Day off, but no longer. Let's see. What else do we have? Rick, can you please play the Foghog sounder? Please. It helps me link one week.
Yes.
It helps me link one week to the next and lets me know I'm still breathing. That's from Catherine. I don't have it in front of me. We have... Right there, a cart machine, which, let me just tell you this about that, by the way. Scotty,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio. Scotty J!
Message.
Hey, all. Hello, sir, how are you?
Good.
I'm feeling full of vigor today. Hey, couple things. A, I forgot to bring in some carts. Now, we've got the cart machine here.
Okay.
So at your earliest opportunity, will you please to be bringing me a smattering of carts?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I grab ones that you have not...
Yeah, now you know where I'm talking about, down in that main cabinet down below. Now, some of those are going to be full-length country songs, and there's really not much point
right.
to those. So try to avoid anything that is obviously a full song. And, you know, and look for some stuff that's kind of interesting. And grab the Foghog, if you would, please, for Catherine, who apparently needs it to create some sort of mental stability
now,
for herself.
Now, did you throw that in the far corner?
It's where Smokey stuff was.
Okay,
yeah, so if you're facing Tim's computer, it's in the far right there.
Okay.
Secondly... Oh, and let me just say this about the cart machine. So I've been told by the engineers, are you throwing away a perfectly good pot pie?
Yes, I didn't realize it had 1,200 calories in it.
The whole thing?
1,200 calories. I thought that it was one serving of 600 calories.
No.
I'm like, oh, okay.
No. That's how they trick you with those things.
Yep.
That's like that Safeway pizza I was talking about, where it's like, oh, 500 calories, and then the whole pizza's like 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
No, those pot
so,
pies...
So yes, I'm sorry, I was very wasteful, but I did throw it away.
You can lie to yourself and tell you that those pot pies, which Sarah was just eating,
it was
are
delicious.
Healthy. The thing is, bad food is always delicious. It's designed to be delicious, and there's a whole evolutionary theory behind that. I can tell you, but there is a long There is a Darwinian evolutionary reason why bad food tastes the best. And I'm not going to go into it now because it's really tedious and no one cares. I'm just going to say this, that pot pies are one of those things like macaroni and cheese, nothing but starch and sodium. All really, that's all it is. It's just carbs and salt. And they taste really good, but then it turns on you.
Mm-hmm.
It turns on you without really... One bite, great. And then, bam, suddenly you're full and you don't want to eat it anymore.
Yep. Insert chicken pot pie and I don't care joke right here.
So anyway, here's the thing I need you to do. I need you to go grab some carts and then... But this cart machine right here, the engineers told me that we're actually taking it to the new studio. Whether or not we use it is up to us. I mean, we can just throw it away if we want to, or just get rid of it, toss it in a dumpster because we're going to use it.
I know, never do that.
Here's the thing, though. They won't leave the cart machine here at the coin tower because they are apparently terrified that if they leave it here, the morning show is going to demand that they get it, that the couple morning show is going to demand that it be installed again. Apparently, the couple guys have been heard to complain that, yeah, we miss having the cart in the studio. And so we got to take it with us because otherwise the couple guys are going to demand that, that we reinstall it. Scotty J, so yeah, so Lisa will be calling in a few. I'll go ahead and pick that up if you want to be pulling some carts. And finally, is there some sort of embarrassing anecdote you'd like to share with everybody this morning?
Related to?
I don't know.
Yeah, he said, I don't know what he's talking about because he said that something embarrassing happened to you
over the weekend that you'd like to share with the crowd?
Oh, I thought I lost my wallet.
Oh, well, that's what I was... I thought there was something... Nothing involving you and Mrs. J?
Nothing involving me and Mrs. J.
Oh, it wasn't embarrassing. No, some people... thing that Scotty almost got into a bar fight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic in and of itself. How did the bar fight happen? What bar? Was it a bar in the suburbs?
It was downtown.
It was a what bar?
Well, there might be some listeners, but it was the Boiler Room.
Oh, okay. All right. And so how did the fight... So this is you and Mrs. J drinking?
Yes.
So you're drinking,
and a couple other friends.
So you're drinking with someone, actually. Well, that's a step in the right direction. At least you're bringing others into your alcoholic web. So so this is... I think this is probably Lisa right here.
Okay, we'll come back to this.
Hold on a second. Hello, is this Lisa Goddard?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing? This is Rick.
Rick, wow. Doing every job in the book there.
Well, it's because we're busy talking to Scotty J about a bar fight that he almost got into this weekend. Would you like to listen in?
Yes.
All right, hold on just one moment, Lisa. All right, so you're at the bar this weekend, so it's you and Mrs. J, and you're drinking.
Right.
How drunk would you say you were?
Oh, well, I, you know, probably stumbled through a couple words.
So you were well into your cups, as you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were just some libations.
How did the bar fight? Are you subscribing to like a word of the day calendar or something? How did the bar fight happen? Did they start the fight with you?
Well, see, it's not as exciting as you're building it up to be.
I'll make it sound exciting.
It was chicks that were trying to cause a fight, right? And my wife wanted to.
Were they fighting over you, Jerry Springer style? And your wife wouldn't give it up, her man, to no ho in no bar.
Exactly.
But how did I don't understand? How did women start a bar fight?
No, I was off. Singing a karaoke song.
What were you singing?
I believe this one was a Little River Band song.
Of course.
There's more to the story later today.
Yeah.
But this is not as interesting as L.A., but in any case, these girls had sat in my seat, right, because I was off singing.
Yeah.
I come back, and my wife's like, hey, you're in my husband's seat, and they just start...
I wouldn't screw with your wife.
They lipped off to her, and she was, like, ready. We had to, like, restrain her back.
Your wife... So it wasn't you getting into a bar fight. It was some girls who took your seat, and then your wife came to your defense.
Okay.
That's really fantastic. No, I wouldn't screw with your wife. Your wife looks like she not only could throw a punch, she looks like she's probably thrown punches. I bet your wife, and I don't mean any disrespect because I'm sure she's a fine woman, but your wife looks like the kind that used to cause a ruckus when she was younger. I bet in high school she's decked her fair share of people. That'd just be my guess.
Are you alluding to who wears the pants in my family?
I'm not.
Because it's me.
I'm sorry, you're all alpha, baby. I didn't mean to. No, I'm just saying your wife doesn't seem like she takes any crap from people. Mrs. J seems like she probably can hold it down for herself.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
We can pick this up later.
We will, because I want to ask you about your credit cards. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from the Hill. Fashionably attired and with a brain full of dangerous observations about the state of Western civilization, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today, sister?
I'm good. You built up my expectations on the fight there, Scotty.
I thought it was going to end up with Scotty being beaten down by some group of toughs in a bar. I did not realize, although I should have anticipated, that it would end with his wife coming to his defense.
Yes.
Because really, that does make so much more sense. I mean, especially if you know that guy, that's the only way that story really could end. Have I told you the story about Scotty and the Crown Royal? I'm trying to tell everybody in the world that story one person at a time.
That's fantastic. No, that's great. I'm happy to hear it, as long as the listeners aren't bored.
No. I don't care if the listeners are bored or not. This is this is Rick and Lisa time. So here's the thing. Do you drink Crown Royal at all?
I have in the past. I'm more of a clear liquor girl.
I was going to ask you that, what your drink of choice is, and here's why I ask. Because at some point we're going to bring all y'all to town, the CNN folks.
Love it.
Well, we are trying to figure out what everybody's drink of choice is. What did we figure out that Ed McCarthy drinks, Sarah? It was vodka and... It was very close to your drink, wasn't it? Vodka.
I can't remember. Cranberry.
Was it vodka cranberry?
I think so.
Is there a name for that?
Vodka cran.
So vodka cranberry. And Root pretty much just drinks anything that's liquid and has it. I mean, it doesn't matter. Head cleaner, whatever. And Root will just drink anything that's guaranteed to blot out brain cells. Your preferred drink, Lisa Goddard, is what?
Actually, straight vodka.
Straight vodka.
Indeed. Yes.
Boy, you know, it's the look just...
There are Alcoholics Anonymous chapters out there emailing me now, probably.
No, I just got to tell you that here's...
Do you drink it like shots, or do you drink it on the rocks?
That's my preference, actually. And you know, I don't tell most people, except on radio, because most people think, wow, that you really, you may have a problem. But, you know, I never drank until I was actually out of college, and I started when I lived in Russia, and... You know,
oh, that makes sense.
That's how they roll.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense, actually, now that I think about it. I was going to say, you will never go wrong on this program by expressing a preference for any kind of vodka drink. You are going to fit right in. I have to say that when you said that you just drink vodka straight, the look that flashed across Sarah's face was equal parts sort of surprise and, I think, admiration. That's what it was.
Yeah, I want to know can you drink a lot of vodka?
You know, I used to be able to, right after I left Russia. But, you know, they've got the system down over there. It's very different. But I used to be able to. Now, I don't know. Now I can hold my own if I want to. I find myself not wanting to as much. But
well, you don't have anything left to prove. You've you know you can do it, and that's what matters. You're like Karen Allen in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You don't need to do the drinking contest anymore. But if really pushed, you can hold it down.
Right, that's how I feel, exactly.
Fantastic. Okay, well, that's going on. It's good, because we're assembling a CNN drink recipe book.
And then you must come and visit us, Lisa, and we'll take you out for vodka.
Oh, my gosh, it'd be fantastic.
Fantastic. So here's a great story. So Scotty J., who spends a lot of time in dimly lit bars drinking alone and then paying $200 for a cab ride home to the suburbs, he was at a station event with us about a month ago. There was a band, an 80s rock band called L.A. Guns, and we were doing the we were presenting their show. There was, you know, like a kind of a big bar place, and they were in town, and we were presenting the show. So Sarah and I and Scotty are there, and Sarah and I are doing the stage introduction to the band, blah, 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 blah. So we get there a little early. Scotty's like, well, I'm going to belly up to the bar, or some statement that Scotty would make. And so some B-movie dialogue that comes out of his mouth. And so he wanders up to the bar, and I was not there to witness it, but I had several listeners who did see this happen. And you have to picture this happening in like a series of time-lapse photography, like those Mount St. Helens photographs. Scotty takes a shot of Crown Royal, opens his mouth, he throws it back. It's not so much throwing it up as it is that his body just immediately rejects it. He throws the shot of Crown Royal into his mouth, immediately just does kind of a claw and like hacks it back out into the glass, where it then ricochets like a boomerang back into his left eye. He then runs into the bathroom, where he is observed by another set of listeners bending down to the sink and repeatedly throwing cold cupfuls of handfuls of water into his eye, screaming, ow, ow, God, God, it burns. And I have to tell you, really, by any estimation and by any yardstick, that's one of the most fantastic stories involving the attempted consumption of alcohol that I have ever heard.
That is fantastic. Now, does he have the long, like, rock star hair? Does he have tight hair? I mean, was the hair even involved here? Was there hair hanging down?
No, he has sort of, how would you describe his hair, Sarah, Scotty's hair? I mean,
Scotty has like a 13-year-old boy's hair. You know, it kind of sticks out a little in the back. And
it's
brushed
not,
over the side.
I mean, it's sort of, it's midway between like that metrosexual Dane Cook spiky long hair and sort of like a buzz cut. It's sort of midway between the two. It screams suburban white man, but I really can't quantify it beyond that. There was no hair. Although now that does make me wonder if he ever did have really long hair. I'm guessing he probably didn't. It would be my guess that even during the 80s, Scotty J never had long hair because I'm thinking he would equate that with being effeminate in some way. And is Scotty J, as demonstrated by his many, many, many long monologues about how the Boy Scouts are turning his son into a sissy because there's women involved, I am guessing that at no point has he ever had hair that would make him look anything less than manly. That'd just be my guess. We'll find out. Well, I'll find out for you.
All right. Please do.
All right. Excellent.
Outstanding.
Hey. So.
Happy MLK Day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I gotta say this. There's so much here to talk about, and I mean. A lot of this is just sort of circling back around and readdressing familiar themes. But George Bush was on CBS.
On
60 Minutes. And a lot of this, I know that you can't necessarily comment on because so much of it is just my opinion. But I do think that the word that we use about this guy so much frequently is just hubris. And I understand the fact that as the president, he's got to do what he thinks is right. And he has to make the decisions that he thinks are appropriate and so forth. But it does seem like having at least a conciliatory gesture or at least attempting to look as though he's being inclusive is going to pay political dividends, which really is not happening. So we've got President Bush said in an interview, which, the interview, by the way, which was, quote, intended to rally popular support for the plan. He
right.
said... Congress can't reverse my decision. It's not their responsibility. And my question is doesn't this, in a sort of de facto sense, just defeat the whole purpose of checks and balances? Because it really does feel like 98% of the country and 100% of the Congress could be opposed to this. And it's just going to happen anyway. And I think there's a real sort of sick taste in the mouth of a lot of Americans that this really is, that they are just impotent in this case, that there's just nothing that can be done. And am I wrong about that, that there is that sense in the public and certainly in the government right now?
I think there's definitely that sense in the public. And I think certainly the White House, would like people to think that Congress can't do anything. I think the answer is much less clear. I think Congress is going to try to work out some little way to have some kind of influence. I don't know that it'll be very much. They might. The White House is saying now, you know, last week we talked about the whole idea in Congress was Bush is going to have to ask for extra money for these extra troops. When he does that, we're going to either attach a lot of strings to it, meaning that he has to get approval for every brigade maybe that goes over or something like that so that Congress would have a more active role in limiting troops. But now the White House is saying, no, we don't need extra money for these troops. We already have that money. The money we're asking for is for something else. So it's the shell game that we thought that we expected to happen. But it makes Congress's position much more difficult. They still are going to try to put some strings on this when Bush asks for more money. But I think their main power in the next few weeks is going to be putting Republicans on the record in the House and the Senate. You'll see some big debates and big votes. And then also their committee hearings. They're going to just bring up Condoleezza Rice, bring everybody in as much as they can, and basically yell at them and tell them, you know, how many problems they have with what's going on.
I think this is really the time, in my opinion, if it doesn't seem like there's anything they can do necessarily in a very hands-on sense, it really seems like at the very least the Democrats ought to be doing some sort of big, grand gesture. This is the time for something big and symbolic, and I don't even necessarily know what it would be. But, you know, Charles Rangel always has that thing that he's bringing forward about instituting the draft.
Right. And actually that he is proposing that. He already introduced that. I don't know if it's going to see any daylight, but he's already introduced that this year.
This really is the time for some sort of a send Barbara and Jenna Bush to war, some sort of a draft Toby Keith, something. They're Americans respond. I really ought to be charging for this advice. I really ought to just call up Paul Begala right now.
And we need to hook you guys. We need to hook you into Washington. We need to be on the broadcast mediums here.
I got to tell you, I mean, if there's one thing that Abbie Hoffman taught us all in the 60s, it's that Americans respond to big, theatrical, over-the-top, Barnum-esque gestures. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the Democrats could come up with. But I'm telling you, right now is the perfect window for them to do something which lays out the case for themselves, makes them look less impotent, and, I mean, from a political perspective, makes George W. Bush look a little silly. And, I mean, this is, again, I can't even tell you what it would be, but what they can't do is just sit and get bogged down in this quagmire of not having any real power and authority, because all it's going to do is further this perception that even now that they've captured this the Congress, that they can't get anything done. And so...
I think the only theory they have is that at the least they can do is find a forum for the frustration that so many Americans have, and maybe get public opinion more on their side by saying, look, at least we're holding the president accountable, which is something Congress hasn't done for years. So at least they are, you know, at least I think that's a credible argument. I mean, at least they do need to take some steps to actually read what's going on in Iraq instead of, the president's taking care of it, you know, whatever.
We
need to at least be a little more informed, which they're starting to do. But of course, this is all political.
We may have talked about this already, but is there any sort of specific timeline for when Iraq has to get their crap together, because Bush made that statement that if Iraq doesn't play ball, if they don't make gains, if they don't start to... And as a side note, the most amusing in a bleak sense about that whole thing is the idea that he's somehow putting it on them to fix a problem that he created. But he did make this statement that if they do not get their countries act together in a respectable period of time, that we're going to pull up stakes and leave. And is there any sense on what that timeline is, or is the timeline just until it's the next president's problem?
Yeah, wasn't that great in the, I don't know if you saw the 60 Minutes interview, but where the president was actually asked, do you feel like you should apologize to the Iraqis who have been dying en masse because of these mistakes that you admit you've made? And then he said, should I apologize to the Iraqis? I mean, obviously the Iraqis have made mistakes too, but it was quite a moment. The answer to your question is the White House is going with November. November is what is in that little slot right now on, I guess, the sign outside the dairy bar that you change the numbers on.
Right.
But right now they are serious. They say that in November is when they want Iraqis to take over security for the entire country. And of course, those we're not sure what that means either. But that is where that's the goal right now. That's one of the bigger bigger markers that they're looking toward.
Let me ask you this, just, and I know this is a loaded question, but
great.
I'm just saying, from a day-to-day perspective, was life for some of the Iraqi guy on the street, in a day-to-day perspective, was it better 5 years ago than it is today?
Well, I think it depends on who the Iraqi guy was. If it was someone who had been operating in the Shiite resistance to Saddam Hussein, then no, probably life on the streets and was in Basra or someplace that's more relatively stable now. No, life is generally better now. But I think for most of the country, and I think part of the issue here is that Baghdad is such a population center, and Baghdad is such a center of violence. So when you talk about these problems, you talk about Anbar, which is just to the west of Baghdad, and then Baghdad itself, people who live in those regions, I think life is much more chaotic, much more bloody, much more scary for kids and adults than it was under Saddam Hussein, much less stable. It's very difficult to have a consistent business. All of the rules are changing constantly, so I think it's much, the fear factor has grown so much higher. But on the other hand, I mean, there are some improvements. It's really spotty. There are some areas that now have better electricity from time to when the electrical grids aren't being blown up by insurgents. But so it's very tricky. I think what I'm interested in right now is I see a reaction that I saw when I was in Russia, speaking of the vodka lovers again, that, you know, after the fall of communism there, it was a scary time, and the mafia was taking over. You know, it was more stable than it is in Iraq, less violent, but it was still in great flux, and many, many people looked back on communist times and felt like communist times were better. Well, you go 10 years down the road, you know, post-Boris Yeltsin, now you've got Putin, and you have a country that has a more authoritarian leader again, and that's because they missed, I think,
right,
what it was like under communism. I can see Iraqis going down that road again because they want that stability. They want that. They're going to be willing, perhaps, to trade off their liberties for more stability.
Well,
and that's what's happening in Russia, and that's what I could see happening in Iraq as well.
And I mean, if this was really, and if this were some long, tedious 5-hour NPR program, we could go on and on and on about this. Because no, because it's all of that stuff. It's all of that psych 101 crap that everybody knows, which is that the girls who grow up with a dad that kicks them down the staircase end up with a boyfriend that punches them in the teeth. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because you get that weird duality where you hate it, but you crave the weird, perverse structure of it.
It does seem like we had a window, right? When we entered Iraq, it seems, and Bush admits that himself, that if we'd had more troops, the story really could be different. I just think we took so many things for granted. We thought everything was going to work out just peachy. You know, as soon as we walked in, we didn't realize how could we not have realized all the tensions in that country and not prepared for them. I think we really had a shot there, but we missed it.
This is one of those times when I wish that I was going to be around 200 years from now, because I really would like to know what the objective assessment of this whole period of history is going to be by future historians. It pains me that I won't know that. And then we'll let you go. But at some point in the future, and that point is not today, tomorrow, 6 months from now, at some point, you and I are going to have to talk about Russia. Because the thing is, my wife is, God love her, but she knows that I'm not really into traveling the world and going to other countries, because I'm just a lazy, ugly American. But she's kind of browbeating me into going to Italy later this year. But the deal is, here's the deal. I have agreed to go to Italy with her, but the deal is that some point we're going to go to Russia. And I'm making her go to Russia with me. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. And you go in the summer, it's white nights. They stay up all night. The sun doesn't go down. Well, just a little bit it goes down.
So at some point, whenever it is, that I don't know when that's going to be, but at some point, if I still have a radio program at that time, which is, you know, always about a 40-60 proposition, I will prevail.
Not in jail, right.
I will prevail upon you to give
bunker,
me some.
Right.
I'll prevail upon you to give me some observations on that. So,
love to. Whatever.
All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day. We will speak with you soon, sister.
Love to die.
All right, thank you. All right, there's Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic.
That's awesome.
She shoots straight vodka. That's what I'm talking about.
Man, that's pretty hardcore.
Well, I mean, I should have put it together, though, because... And if you know... I'm not going to say I attract, but I seem to know a lot of people. I think more than the norm. Like, you know, proportionately speaking, who have gone to Russia, lived in Russia, are really into Russian culture. I know a lot, and they're all women for some reason. I know a lot of women who are really, really into Russian culture, lived there, studied there, and even now, living in the States again, are still very much steeped into that and still very much follow it. And I don't know why that is. I think it must... There must, and this is like a pointless, this is sort of like a weird angels on the head of a pin argument that I won't dwell on. But I think there must be some sort of thing where, because I talk about how there's personality cluster traits. Like, a guy who's into Douglas Adams novels is always into Monty Python. And if you're into Douglas Adams and Monty Python, the odds are 99% you're into Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, you know what I'm talking. There are those sorts of things. If you're into Star Trek, you watch Futurama. That's just the way it is. It's a law of the universe. So there must be something about the people I know or the social groups I travel in that, and they're all Star Trek fans too. That's the other thing. The people I know who are really into Russia, they're sci-fi fans. I don't know if Lisa is or not, but the people I know that are into Russian culture are also really into sci-fi for some reason. So there's something about the groups I travel in or the people I know. There's something about that personality that is attracted to that country, because they get me. Like, that's my whole thing with Laura. She's getting me to go to Italy, and I'm like, okay, but we're going to Russia. And Russia.
When are you guys going?
To Russia?
Yeah.
Or to Italy?
To Italy.
Italy, like September, I think, October, something like that.
Wow.
Sometime later this year. I forget, because I think, you know, you structure it around radio and around all the different dates and everything. But something before the end of the year. And then the Russia thing is at some point in the future. But the thing is, that's the only foreign country I have any desire to go to, is Russia. For reasons that I can't even really describe. It's just, and maybe I have like a completely false image of it in my head, and maybe I get there and it's not what I expected or whatever, but just the imagery and the history and the whatever, I don't know, I have this, Russia is really strangely compelling to me for some reason, and I can't really put it into words, but that's the only country I've ever really wanted to go to. And it's equally sort of fascinating and terrifying to me. So, anyway, blah, 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 blah. She drinks straight vodka. That's really the upshot here. It's 503-7. So now we know. So now we've got the CNN drink recipe file. It's almost done. We just got to figure out what Brian Blank drinks. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up around the corner, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Peter Carlin, Jim Roop, the top five, and the debacle of Scotty's credit card. Here's Alice Cooper.
I can't go to school because I ain't got a good.